Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this Food Friday, April 14th. I'm Ray Graff. Always great fun when cooking instructor and food writer Deanna Fox joins us on the show. And with Easter weekend nearly upon us, many people in the listening area will find themselves up to their eyeballs in eggs. What do you do with all the eggs? Well, we have a Food Friday for you, and Deanna has some great ideas about what you can do with the eggs, and you can insert your own joke there. It is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. It promises to be an excellent show. I'm quite, you're shaking your head, I'm quite exuberant about the whole thing. Forget it. It's Food Friday, deviled eggs and whatnot, scotch eggs. Your call's coming up right after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Well, it's a Good Friday, and it's a Food Friday, so we welcome back fan favorite Deanna Fox here to help you figure out what to do with all the eggs you may have lying around. Deanna is a freelance food and agriculture writer based in the Capital District. Her work is known locally in the Times Union, all over Albany, Edible Capital District, and also in national publications like Eater and Beer Advocate. More can be found on her website. It's www.foxonfood.com or on Facebook under Fox on Food. Deanna Fox, welcome back to the show.
Welcome, welcome. Thanks for having me.
Our number here is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. You can also email the program at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, our number is 800-348-2551. Before we start the show, some housekeeping. So your headphones are unplugged, aren't they?
They are.
Yes. And you see, Jim was in here doing the newscast, so we didn't have a chance to work that out. So If you look to your left, straight ahead, there'll be a jack under there. And see, what happens is Rosemary likes to use her own headphones. It's not too far down there. And
I think I got
did
it.
Did you find it? Can you hear yourself?
I can hear you and myself.
Well, you see.
Amazing.
We're off to it. Let's just start again. Deanna Fox is a freelance food and agriculture writer, and our number is 800-348-2551. Before we get to the food, what's new?
What's new? I'm working on a book.
Really?
Yeah.
What's it all about?
About all the things that I teach in classes, all the little tiny tips that people don't ever learn. Maybe your home ec teacher taught you at some point in the kitchen, but nobody ever taught you because nobody takes home ec anymore.
So or like what? Well, they do take home ec, but it's called something else now. My kids take it. It's home industry science or some bizarre name. And in the old days, it was just home ec. So give me an example.
Like the difference between table salt and kosher salt and how you need to measure them differently. When a recipe just says salt, you're using kosher salt at home. It's not the same unit of measure. It's not the same measurement.
So what do you do? More or less for kosher salt?
More. Twice as much.
Really? Why? Mm-hmm. Bigger chunks?
Yeah. So regular salt is like a little Lego brick. And when you measure it in your measuring spoon, they all stack up on each other nice. And there's very little air between. But flaky salt, like sea salt or kosher salt, it's very irregular. There's lots of air between each piece of salt. So to get the same amount of salinity, you need twice as much.
Brilliant.
Equal the same taste.
Well, I've learned something already.
I know.
800-348-2551. Today's program is about eggs. And
it is.
Boy, have you been brewing and stewing all morning long, presumably. What did you bring?
Today, I kept it simple. Just two things. So we've got classic deviled eggs. Like, can't fail. No fuss. Deviled eggs.
But you sort of adorned them differently.
I did. But those are easy things. So, you know, there's different toppings and stuff. That's kind of how you make it personal and make it good is when you add, you know, you start with a good base and you add kind of whatever you want to that. So I have some that have little tiny chopped up dill pickle, some that have radish on them, some that have fresh chive from the garden, some that has mustard seed that's been soaked in white wine, so they get nice and plump, and they almost taste like they have a texture like caviar.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, you can put caviar on them too. Then you have egg on egg.
But you wouldn't do that, would you?
Yeah, why wouldn't I?
Really?
Yeah, why not?
The eggs, and by the way, we have Deanna's recipes online at wamc.org/voxpop. You can just search for Food Friday if you wish there. And some great pictures of these eggs. The little sliced pickles on this, it's really, that was a lot of work.
Nah, you have a sharp knife. Keep your knives nice and sharp. Take them in to wherever you take them to get them sharpened, and it's easy work.
All right, let's find out the secret of your, before we move on to this gargantuan other thing you brought. let's find out your secrets about deviled eggs.
Deviled eggs.
I tasted some mustard in the one I tried.
Yeah.
And you said there's another secret ingredient.
Yeah, pickle juice.
Pickle juice.
I know. How you want to think, right?
That
flavor of dill pickle juice. You can put, again, there's some that have fresh herbs on them. Fresh dill, like little fronds of dill that you pull off and put on there. Really, really simple, but it looks really nice. It's perfect for Easter. But you can put, if you don't like dill pickles, you can really do any kind of pickle juice that you want, but just white vinegar works well. And you can play with that too. You could do like a distilled white vinegar would be fine, or you could do like a white wine or a champagne or like a seasoned rice wine if you want rice wine vinegar. So you can play around with it.
So you're using mayo and vinegar.
Yeah. So
and mustard.
Yeah.
Doesn't the vinegar make the mayo fall apart?
No. Because you're adding for a half dozen eggs, you have 6 egg yolks, like a quarter cup of mayonnaise, and just like a tablespoon of the vinegar or the dill pickle juice. And it thins it out just enough where you can kind of spoon it in really nice or pipe it in with a piping bag. And then some mustard. So I did some plain yellow prepared mustard, and then some really fiery, spicy Coleman mustard, just a little bit. Just a pinch, just to give it some heat, and some grated onion. You could use onion powder if you want at home. And that was pretty much it that I added in there.
But the texture, it's very silky, very smooth. So I assume there's some preparation involved with that.
I mashed up the yolks just with a fork, just to get them kind of fine. And you're just pressing into them. You're not doing anything fancy, just into a bowl. And then once I added the mustard and the mayo, and it's got to be Hellman's mayo.
Why?
Oh, because it's the best mayonnaise.
I think it's great, too. But can you tell a difference?
I can.
In an egg?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, you put eggs in to make mayonnaise. So,
okay, all right.
You know, they're kind of going together. It's eggs in different stages, that's all. And then I just use a little whisk, just a little wire whisk once everything's in there to make it nice and smooth. You could, if you're making a lot of them, you could do it in a food processor. Just make sure you don't whip it too long because you'll actually make things separate a little bit.
Oh, interesting.
But you could do it in, if you have a stand mixer or a little electric hand mixer or anything like that would be fine.
How long will you let these sit? I presume you have to chill them before you serve them.
Yes. They were in the fridge before we came, before we took a little car ride over to WAMC.
Well, it's so nice that you came.
And you want to keep them chilled until you're ready to serve them.
Deanna Fox is our guest. Her website is foxonfood.com. And then this other thing that looks like a giant dinosaur egg. What is that?
A scotch egg.
Oh.
It is a good day when you have a scotch egg for lunch.
Wow. I'll tell you what. I've had scotch eggs in the past, and they've never been quite this enormous. Are these ostrich eggs?
No, they're just regular eggs. These particular eggs and the scotch eggs are from Heather Ridge Farm. And they're nice eggs because you don't have to dye them. They're the rainbow eggs. They come in all various shades.
You're kidding me.
No.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And how do they get the chickens to do that?
It's just the type of chicken.
No genetically engineering the chickens?
No genetically engineering.
Mutant chickens?
Mm-mm.
Amazing.
Mm-mm.
So tell us about the scotch egg. This must take some work.
No, it's really easy.
Really?
Yeah. So you want 3 bowls. You're going to have a bowl that's got flour, seasoned with some salt and pepper and some onion powder or dried onion. A bowl that has an egg cracked into it with a little bit of water mixed together, so it's kind of a loose egg mix. And then some breadcrumb in a separate bowl. And then you have a pound of sausage. I just have plain old pork sausage, nothing fancy. And you just push some of the pork sausage into your hand. You take the shell off your hard-boiled egg.
Right.
Push some of the sausage into your hand like a patty. Put the egg in the middle and just kind of envelop the egg in with the sausage. And kind of like form it like a little, like you're making a snowball.
Or
like you're making a meatball.
Yeah.
And then you roll it in the flour. Mm-hmm. You roll it in the egg. You roll it in the breadcrumb. And then you can bake them or fry them. I fried mine today.
So you fried yours. And so how long does it take? So do you par-cook or pre-cook the sausage so that you don't have to fry it for too long?
I did it today. And they're, you know, they got pretty dark on the outside. But you could just kind of crisp up the outside and then put them in a 400-degree oven and bake them.
Mm.
Yep.
And so you serve this with beautiful-looking mustard.
Yeah, a little mustard. Just some yellow mustard seeds, whole mustard seeds that have been soaked in some scotch ale.
Really?
Of course.
Oh, you made your own mustard?
Yeah. And mustard's easy. Soak it in some scotch ale. I use a little bit of mustard powder
right
in there, a little bit of brown sugar just to keep it from being too bitter. and a little bit more of the beer and a little bit of brown sugar and some salt. And I think that was it.
I got to say, you don't see enough Scotch eggs on menus around here. So when you get a chance to see one, especially one this prodigious, it's pretty impressive. Deanna Fox is our guest. We will take a quick break, and then we will get to the phones. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. 800-348-2551. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Field Goods, local produce from the Hudson Valley, delivered weekly to workplace and community locations, helping people change the way they eat while supporting sustainability. Fieldgoods.com for information. River Valley Co-op, Northampton, Massachusetts, a food co-op featuring fresh local foods, a deli department with made-to-order sandwiches, a soup and salad bar, and a bakery. rivervalley.coop. Cafe Capriccio, Chef Jim Rua, working to preserve and maintain the traditions of Italian cuisine and hospitality since 1982 on Grand Street in Albany, New York. CafeCapriccio.com. Troy Waterfront Farmers Market, now indoor season, featuring farm-fresh produce and handmade goods every Saturday, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. inside the Troy Atrium, troymarket.org. And Rolling Rock Farm Salt and Seasonings, Sheffield, Massachusetts. Now crafting black garlic and black garlic products in small batches. BlackGarlicSeaSalt.com for more information.
It's Vox Pop, a Food Friday on WAMC. Ray Graff here at 800-348-2551. Our guest today is Deanna Fox. We talk about what to do with all those eggs. And boy, I'll tell you what, that Scotch egg is a fabulous fabulous thing.
Thank you.
How much sausage did you have to use for this?
For half a dozen eggs, I only used a pound.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a meal in itself.
It is. Yeah.
I gotta say, I love the sliced pickles on the deviled eggs.
Yeah.
I've never had that before.
Yeah.
It's a nice touch. And then you said the chives are from your own garden. How did you? You don't live that far south. You live?
No. I just live west of Albany.
How'd you do that?
Just
we had a blizzard.
Away. I know. Well, chives, you know, they're very resilient. They just started to spring right up. So gave them a little snip, and they were.
Well, the best thing about the way you have garnished these is they look great.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to see that, you can go to our website at WAMC.org. Let's go to the phones. And Barbara in Albany, you're on with Deanna Fox.
Hi. Hi. Nice to talk to you.
Nice to have you here.
My question is about the eggs themselves. I have chickens, and I feed them different things to influence the color of their yolks and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, I mean, that's really the only difference. People think that a brown egg, an egg with a brown shell, will be somehow more nutritious. It looks more authentic to the farm. But the real difference in the egg is what you feed the chicken and how the chicken is grazing.
Right.
So if you have a chicken that is out in the field, you know, pecking around for grubs and getting a lot of grass in there and getting a lot of beta carotene, that's going to be a more golden yolk.
Hmm.
Yes.
So
last year I fed my chickens a lot of red peppers.
Mm-hmm.
From my garden, and it turned their yolks a really deep orange, almost red.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
And it was really cool. And I'm trying to find out, I think there are different kinds of peppers you can feed them to deepen that even more. Do you know anything about that?
I wouldn't know in particular what pepper to feed them, but I think that it's kind of whatever you're going to feed them, you know, is going to kind of like a human. Whatever you put into your body is going to be the output as well. So if you're feeding your chicken something that's, you know, got a lot of capsaicin or anything like that, something that's very red, if it's eating a lot of carrot or something, it's probably going to be a more orange or red egg.
Do chickens
like peppers, Barbara?
Oh, my God, they love them.
You're kidding
me. They go nuts for them. Attack me.
Do the eggs taste spicier after you
they
eat them?
They don't.
Really?
No, they don't taste any different. I also include chia seeds, which are supposed to increase the omega content of the eggs.
I don't know.
And I just throw them in with the peppers.
Yeah,
they like peppers. They like melons. They like cabbage.
Mm-hmm.
Who knew?
I had to, fence off my tomatoes to keep them away.
Yeah.
Wow.
They love They love that.
Well, so maybe you do some experimentation, and next year when we do this show, Barbara, you can tell us how you got blue eggs.
Okay. It's all a science experiment.
Thanks a lot for the call. Have a great weekend. 800-348-2551. Deanna Fox is our guest. Donald in Albany. Donald, you're on.
Hello, this is Donald Smith. I ate a whole bunch of eggs one day.
Oh, boy.
And I want to know what kind of effect would that do to me. Like, I had six eggs.
Okay. What do you mean, what'll it do to you?
Yeah, what will it do to me? Oh. And about later on that week, I think I had about some scrambled eggs, you know.
Yeah. Okay. Well, all right. Yeah. So what do you think, Deanna?
Is that too much eggs?
Yeah.
Is it too much eggs? I mean, I'm not a doctor, so that's a Medical Monday question maybe. But
that's a good question, though.
I don't think it's going to do anything bad for you. It's, you know, there's a lot of research that goes either way on the study of eggs, whether the cholesterol in eggs is bad for you or good for you.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if eating six eggs every day would be a good idea.
Well, not if you have anybody in the house with you.
Yeah.
Clearly, it's not going to be the best idea. But, Donald, that was an interesting one. Thanks a lot.
But I bet, you know, you got a lot of protein in you, so go lift some weights. You'll be fine.
Well, Donald, that was a good one. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. Deanna Fox is our guest. We talk eggs here on a Food Friday. You make a good omelet?
I can make an okay omelet, yeah.
Yeah. What's the secret?
I think that I make, like, a rolled omelet.
What do you mean?
So I kind of like mix up my eggs in a bowl and then put it in with some butter in the hot pan. And I get a bigger pan than what I think I'm going to need. And they cook really fast. So I don't like a big, thick, fluffy omelet.
You like them thin, like a fried egg kind of thing?
Yeah. And then I kind of put the filling in. I'll fold the omelet over on itself. And on the empty side of the pan is where I cook my filling and then roll everything in together.
Hmm. Do you think that the local egg, going local is a good plan?
I mean, going local.
Can you tell the difference when
you're making
a deviled egg, let's say?
There's a lot of ways that you can tell the difference with a local egg. So a local egg is usually a fresher egg. So when you're boiling an egg and you try to take the peel off, a really fresh egg is going to it's going to be tough to get its shell off. Having an aged egg is a term that they use, an older egg, a less fresh egg. It actually, the protein on the inside becomes denatured a little bit and the shell comes off easier. So that way you'll be able to tell if it's a fresher egg. But it really doesn't come down. I think, you know, there's a lot of debate on if local food is better or if organic food is better or anything like that. I can't sit here and tell you that a local egg in and of itself is better than any other kind of egg.
Tasty.
I think it's what you feed your chicken that produces the egg that makes it better.
How many local eggs do you think you could eat?
In one sitting?
Yeah.
I bet I could eat all of those Scotch eggs.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you think? How many do you think Donald could eat?
Twice what I could eat.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. Our number here is 800-348-2551. We talk eggs with Deanna Fox on a Food Friday. And we're really off to a flying start here.
It's great. Yeah.
You having fun?
A flying chicken start.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And if you want to email the program, you can do that as well. voxpop@wamc.org. And tell us how many eggs you've eaten. I mean, we'd love to know.
Yeah. By week. How many eggs per week do you eat? How many do you eat, Ray?
Roughly none. Well,
why?
I mean, these are the first eggs I've had in a while.
I eat an egg every morning.
Really?
Yeah. A piece of toast, a fried egg. I like it fried hard.
I don't
like any runny yolk. And I put salsa on top and hot sauce.
Well, that sounds great.
I eat that every morning.
You know, it's funny. In a house with a lot of people, invariably you will get some, I like them sunny side up. Mm-hmm. I like them this and that. And then it becomes a major production to make eggs. And then you just say, forget the eggs.
You just do a big pot of scrambled eggs.
But in my house, not everyone likes scrambled. When
that's the only option on the table, you start to like scrambled eggs.
I'm down with that.
Yeah.
What about ketchup? Yeah, you put ketchup on?
No, but when I was a kid, I used to put mayonnaise on my scrambled eggs.
Well, that doesn't sound bad.
It was delicious.
You know, mayonnaise is really made from eggs.
It is.
Really? Let's go to the phones. Jenny in Saratoga. Jenny, you're on with Deanna Fox.
Hi, Deanna. It's Jenny.
Hey,
how are you?
Jenny. Good. How are you?
I was listening like I always do because I love listening when you're on Food Friday.
Thank you.
I actually do have a legitimate question.
Okay.
This happens to me a lot because I run out of eggs all the time. And so I'll be baking something. I'll be in the middle of making something and I realize I don't have any eggs. And I always have to Google it and I get like a bunch of different answers. But what is the best thing to substitute for eggs when you're baking when you realize you have no eggs?
So what egg does, why you add eggs to baked goods is it's protein, so it binds everything together. So anything that you can do that has protein in it that will bind it together should help. So depending on what you're making, you could add in some peanut butter or some sort of nut butter. Sometimes you'll see recipes that will substitute applesauce for oil and at least one egg.
Okay, yeah, I've seen the applesauce.
Yeah, and so the applesauce has a lot of pectin in it. So the pectin helps to keep everything kind of bound together. So you're just looking to bind things. So anything that you could use that might help to bind things together would.
Jenny, how many eggs do you eat?
Well, Jenny has five kids. I know Jenny.
Jenny has five kids?
Yes, so she probably eats about 2 dozen a week.
So, Jenny, you must have the same problem that I have. I have five kids, and it's very difficult to get them all on the same page with the type of eggs. Some people like scrambled. Some don't like scrambled.
Oh, yes. Very difficult. And then it changes every week. You know, one likes scrambled eggs 1 week, then they don't the next week. So, yeah.
That's a whole other show.
Order cook type of stuff.
Kids are annoying. That'll be our topic next week. Hey, Jenny, thanks a lot. Have a great weekend. Bye.
Thanks.
800-348-2551. Deanna Fox is our guest on one of the weirder episodes of Food Friday we've had in a while. Cindy in Plattekill. Cindy, you're on.
Hi. How are you guys today?
Good. Hi, Cindy.
I have a question, and I always get confused. Do you want, and I live in Ulster County, which is absolutely wonderful. In my area, we have all kinds of farms everywhere, and everyone has chickens. Do you want cage-free? Do you want... They have all these different labels. What's right. The one that's out there eating bugs and all the stuff you want them to be eating?
Well, that probably is pasture-raised. So cage-free just means that they're not in nesting crates. They're not in nesting boxes. But it could still mean that they're inside, fed, you know, just a generic poultry feed, and not seeing any sunlight. It just means that they're not caged
right.
up.
Okay.
So if you want something that's out... roaming around, eating grass and bugs and whatever else is coming, you know, coming into, that's pasture-raised.
Pasture-raised.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Now I know what to ask for and look for on the label. That's great. Thank you.
Thanks,
yeah.
Cindy.
Take care.
Appreciate the call. 800-348-2551. So chickens eat bugs, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Go to Mark in Salem. Mark, you're on.
Hi. You started to answer the question about getting shells off of eggs. My first experience was making deviled eggs. Everybody wanted to know my recipe for what I put in it, and I couldn't tell them because I just put a little of onion and a little of this, a little of that, and everybody said, oh, they taste so good, and I couldn't remember what
can't
I
reproduce
put in
it.
Them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the problem I have is I've used old eggs, I've used new eggs, I've overcooked them a little bit, put them in ice water. What's the best way to prepare an egg so that you can get the shell off easily? Now, you spoke about it a little bit earlier, and maybe you could elaborate on that a little bit.
I could. So here's a trick. Here's a little food science for you. You want to put your eggs in, if you like a really soft boiled egg, get your water boiling first and then put your egg in and leave them in for like 3 minutes. Make sure they're covered. Take them off the heat. Leave them in for another 3 minutes and then put them in an ice bath or run them under cold water. If you want more of a hard boiled egg, I like the inside of my eggs to be a little bit jammy. I don't like them to be totally rubber.
I prefer it a little harder. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
if you're making deviled eggs, it shouldn't matter, right? You're adding all the mushy stuff anyway.
Well, they fall apart when you put the stuff in it.
Right. The whites will be kind of rubbery. They can be kind of rubbery, and you don't want that. So what I do is I put a dozen or 18, however many you can fit in your pan, put them in and put about 1.5 inches of water, cold water, to cover them. And so they should be covered by about 1.5 inches. And then put that on the heat with the lid. Put it on to boil. As soon as that water starts boiling, you turn it off, take them off the heat, wait 8 minutes, take them off, and then run them in under cold water or put them in an ice bath. But if you have really fresh eggs that you just got, put 1/4 teaspoon of baking soda in with the water. And that's going to penetrate.
Soda.
Yep, it's going to... The membrane that's on the inside of the shell, it's actually going to help pull away from the white, and it's going to help you take the the white off. Another trick is if you look at the egg, there's a like a pointed end and a broad end.
Right.
And that broad end has a little air pocket when the when the eggs boil. So start cracking.
You start there.
Yeah,
start
don't roll your egg and make little cracks all over the place. Just crack the broad end and start there. And that air pocket will get under that membrane that we were talking about, and you can just kind of pull the shell right off.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's what happens when I'm successful.
Yeah.
There you go. Well, thanks, Mark.
Thank you.
Appreciate the
call. Take care.
I've been doing it wrong all this time. I just get a spoon and give it a whack.
No. Whack it on the bottom.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Let's go over. I can't quite see who's been holding longest. The font is screwing me up here. Let's go to Patty in Clifton Park. Patty.
Hi. How are you?
Good.
Thanks for taking my call. I have a question about freezing eggs. I understand that you can, like, scramble them up and then freeze them.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true? And how long are they good for if you do it that way?
You can. So you can just mix the eggs together and freeze them. And I wouldn't let them go for more than, like, 2 months. That's probably good.
Okay.
But if you're separating out your eggs and, or your whites and your yolk, I keep an extra ice cube tray handy. And whatever I am not using, so if it's the yolk or the white, I mix each one individually and put them into the wells of that. So like one white per well of my ice cube tray.
You're kidding me.
And then I freeze them and then pop them out and just put it in a Ziploc bag. And then if I have a recipe where I need like 3 eggs plus 2 egg whites, I can just pop those out.
Yeah.
Don't put them in the microwave. Let them come to room temperature or let them thaw in the refrigerator. And then you just add them in.
Brilliant.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Take care.
And how did you learn to do that?
I don't know.
You
trial and
just
error.
Just tried it?
Yeah.
And did you actually try putting it in the microwave to defrost?
Yeah, it just ends up as a cooked egg.
Like a little souffle sort of thing?
Yeah.
All right, let's go over to Bob in Bernardston. Bob, you're on.
Yeah, Ray, what's the correct way to hard-boil eggs and then peel them?
Okay, well, we sort of covered this, but you know what? I'm a slow learner myself, Bob. So let's go over it again, Deanna.
Sure, to hard boil them, you put them in just in your pan, and put enough water in them so that they're covered by about 1.5 inches of water, and put about a quarter teaspoon of baking soda in there in the water, and that will help the shell kind of break away from the egg, and then put them on your burner covered. And bring them up to a boil. As soon as they're boiling, turn the heat off and take them off the burner and let them just sit in the pan for 8 minutes. And when the 8 minutes is up, you just drain them, run them under cold water, or put them in an ice bath so that you stop the cooking, and they should be good. And don't make them really cold or really hot. You want them kind of lukewarm or room temperature when you peel them.
Oh.
And that will help, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's it.
All right. Well, Well, thanks, Bob. We appreciate it. 800-348-2551 is the number, 800-348-2551. One of the recipes, you didn't bring any with you, but one of the ones we put on the website was for a cool bread.
Oh, yeah. So I can put that up on my website, which is just...
Well, it's on our website, too.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
I just thought you might bring some.
I know. I'm sorry.
You ate it all, didn't you?
I did.
All right, so tell us about it quickly before
it's
we
just,
go to break.
It's just like a brioche, basically, a basic brioche recipe. And you're braiding it. So you break your dough into 3 strands and you braid it. And then in the little nooks of the braid, you kind of nestle in some hard-boiled eggs and let it rise. And then you bake it. And you bake the eggs right in the oven. And you have like this beautiful Easter egg bread. And it's great.
Well, that sounds like a great breakfast, a Sunday breakfast sort of thing.
It's great.
All right, let's go over to Rosemary. Or was it Rosemary or Rosemary in Poughkeepsie?
Rosemary,
you're on.
Thank you. I was lucky enough to get my hands on some beautiful goose eggs so that I can paint them. But I'm wondering if you have any suggestions what to do with the yolks. I'm sure you can eat them, but I'm not sure how.
Yeah, I mean, you would eat them like you would use it. I want to incorporate them into a baking because that's a really big egg. So you couldn't do like a one-for-one substitution with just a chicken egg. But definitely you could fry it. You could do a poached goose egg over like some wilted greens. Mm. And that would be really tasty in a little vinegar.
How big is a goose egg compared to a regular chicken egg?
Like twice the size.
Oh, my God. Think about it. You'd have a basketball-sized scotch egg if you made that. That'd be awesome.
Softball size.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you could cook them like you would cook any other egg. And they're tasty.
Is it a little more gamey?
I don't think so. I've never had a goose egg that was more gamey. I think they're great.
Okay.
Yeah. Good
Thanks,
luck.
Thanks,
Rosemary.
Very much. Marie, we appreciate it very much. 800-348-2551. Deanna Fox is our guest, and Epifanio is on. You're on.
Yes, sir. I would like to know if you get an egg that is cage-free, organic, and you put a pin and make two holes on the poles, and you suck it from one, if it's healthy for you.
How do you do it? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, you poke two holes on the poles, and you suck from one.
Yeah. I've never done it with sucking, but I've done it with blowing.
What the heck you're talking about,
Deanna? You want so essentially you want the shell to be intact.
Okay.
So there's two little like pinholes.
Why do you want the shell to be intact?
People use it for decorating.
Oh, okay,
or whatever.
I get it. Yeah.
Yeah. And sometimes with that pin, if you have one that's long enough, you kind of break up the yolk a little bit. You're gonna want to have to break up your yolk, or else it's never gonna come out. But you can
the yolk and the membrane.
Yes. Right. Both of them. Yeah. You want to mix them together a little bit, and then you can just kind of blow on one end so it comes out the other.
You could
suck if you wanted to, but you might end up with a mouthful of egg. So.
Yeah, it's like siphoning gas out of a Ford.
It was something in a tradition that they had, you know?
Yeah.
I think I even did it years ago, even 35 years ago.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, hey.
But it was a tradition. Yeah, you put a pin on both eggs.
Yeah.
It doesn't taste that bad, like you eat raw, you know?
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, we got to take a break here.
A little bit of time.
We're going to take a break, my friend, but thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it. Deanna Fox is our guest. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. Just go to break.
Support for WAMC comes from Big Y. For more than 80 years, family-owned and operated market with 5 locations in the Berkshires with locally grown produce, fresh meat, and seafood, BigY.com. Munson Williams Proctor Arts Institute in Utica, presenting American Quilts, exploring the narrative quality of quilts from the 19th century to today, MWPAI.org. Current Compliance Services Incorporated, Greenwich, New York, holding a symposium in Cincinnati, May 11th and 12th, for life insurers on compliance in online and social media advertising, currencompliance.com. And Roundhouse Bakery, Cambridge, New York, featuring baked goods along with coffee, teas, soups, and sandwiches, using locally sourced and organic as available produce and ingredients, facebook.com/roundhousebakerycafe.
We've composed ourselves to some extent. It's 2:40. It's Vox Pop Food Friday. Ray Graff here. Deanna Fox is our guest. We talk eggs today and just about everything about them. The email address is voxpop@wamc.org. A couple of emails here before we get back to the phones. Deanna, this one's from Liz. It says, what's the best way to make light and fluffy scrambled eggs?
Mm. I think that people think that you should add like heavy cream or some sort of liquid to them.
Yeah.
But I think they're actually lighter if you don't add any liquid. And then move your pan. The secret to really good scrambled eggs is not just to push the eggs around in the pan. It's to shake the pan with one hand.
Why?
And move it. So you're getting, when you're shaking the pan, when you cook a scrambled egg, you get little burn spots, parts that are getting hard. So when you're shaking the pan and you're moving a spatula or a spoon or whatever around, you're increasing the surface area in the egg, you're incorporating more air, and you're also preventing any of those little crusty spots.
Okay, so you're in general equalizing the sort of the
distributing heat and aerating.
Very interesting and very technical. This one's from Paul. Can you please describe how you hard boil your eggs for your Scotch eggs recipe? I always seem to undercook or overcook my hard boiled eggs.
Yeah.
And that is from Paul in Morrisville, who's listening online. Hi, Paul.
It's that 8 minute. You just put them with the water. I think 8 minute is a secret. Yeah, if you like them a little bit. If you go onto the website, you might be able to see a picture of the Scotch egg, and you can see kind of the texture of the yolk. But if you like them slightly softer, a little bit more jammy, 7 minutes. If you like them, you know, real hard, no softness pretty much at all, 9 minutes. Don't go over 10 minutes because everything is going to be rubber. But I think 8 minutes is a sweet spot.
And again, after you've done that, how long did you fry this enormous Scotch egg?
Just until they were brown on all sides. Mm, yeah.
So good.
Over medium heat.
I can't believe that this would be something that you don't screw up at least once before you get it right.
I think what happens, so when you're heating up, if you fry them, just like when you make the first pancake or anything like that, you always burn the first one.
Yeah.
So you might get a little dark on the first one until you get the heat regulated in your oil.
Okay.
But, yeah.
All right, back to the phones we go. And Lois in Saratoga. Lois, you're on.
Hi, good timing. I'm looking for a baked egg dish to serve 8 to 10 people for Easter brunch, along with some other foods, of course.
Okay. That sounds like a good one.
I have a suggestion.
All right.
Lois, if you go onto the Times Union website and search my name, you will find a story that ran last week on shishuka, which is a North African egg dish that's also popular in the Middle East. And
I saw that article.
Yeah, it's tomato-based.
Yeah.
That's a great one because you can do it right in the oven. You don't have to do it on the stovetop. And you can prepare the sauce ahead of time and then just make little wells in your sauce. If you have a big, beautiful pan that you can cook it in, you just make little wells in the sauce and crack your eggs in there, however many you need, and you bake it until the eggs are set, however firm or loose you like them. And it's perfect.
Really?
I love that dish. Yeah.
Well, thank you very much.
Also, look up shirred eggs.
Shirred?
Shirred.
Spell it.
Shirred.
Okay.
Yep.
Give us a quick explanation of this African dish. Don't go into great detail, but just tell us a little bit about it.
I think more people know it in this area because we have a lot of Italian culture is eggs in purgatory. And it's basically just a tomato dish that's spiced somehow. So,
that sounds good.
You know, it might be just like a cumin base, or it might be red pepper based, and that's basically it. And then you make the sauce, maybe with some onion, whatever, some garlic, and you crack the eggs into it, let them bake, and serve it with toast.
Mm.
Real good.
Let's go to Charles in Hyde Park. Charles, you're on with Deanna Fox.
Hey, Ray, what's going on?
The usual.
This is the best time of year to make scrambled eggs because it's also ramp season.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Which is, okay, so they're like chives, but anyway.
Yeah.
And I've always made scrambled eggs. My grandson loves these. Just, you whip them up, maybe some milk, maybe some water, gently in a pan, and that with the chopped up ramps introduced. And the heat is never high, and they just settle. And at the end, you fry them, if you will, set them in butter. Mm-hmm. And at the end, put in some more butter. Now, I know, you know, it's not that healthy, but my grandson will eat 4 or 5 of these.
Yeah.
Okay. You got to have butter.
So, anyways.
Absolutely. Yeah. So you say it's ramp season already, Charles?
Well, they're coming up in my yard.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. That's great.
You know, well, it's, you know, the chivey tops, you know, but it's an amazing accompaniment. You know, eggs are not that hard of flavor, and these ramps are like the perfect herb, I think.
That sounds like you might want to try that in your deviled egg, on top of your deviled eggs.
You could.
That would be good.
Oh, you could put
peppery.
That off.
Yeah.
But anyways, that's what I do. I set the eggs, and then I finish them with a little butter, and boy, that boy will eat all of them.
Yeah.
Good boy. Well, Charles, thanks a lot. Have a great weekend. Our number here is 800-348-2551. It's Food Friday. Deanna Fox is here. And we go over to Joanna in South Hadley. Joanna.
Hi there. I have questions regarding the use of raw or undercooked eggs. I used to love to make hollandaise sauce, and I haven't made it for years out of fear of salmonella. Mm-hmm. And I just wonder how you feel about that, especially in terms of we do buy locally sourced eggs. And both holiday sauce, homemade mayonnaise, and in my very way back past, we used to get a German dish. We used to make a German dish called Gehackt or steak tartare, which was ground steak, a raw egg, raw onion on rye bread.
Yeah.
So just your thoughts about raw uses, raw eggs.
So I've actually seen recipes, and you can find it online, that will use a very softly poached egg.
Yeah.
So you're poaching it, but not really... You're cooking it in some sort of liquid, but not to the point where it's really set. It's just enough to kind of kill off any little salmonella or whatever you're concerned about. And then you can incorporate that into your hollandaise or your mayonnaise just the way that you would with a raw egg. But if you're really concerned about it, you could buy pasteurized eggs in the grocery store. And that, you know, you can buy them like that are all beaten together almost in like a little egg carton. Or you can just buy... pasteurized eggs, ultra pasteurized eggs.
You still have to cook pasteurized eggs, though, don't you?
Yeah, but the risk for anything you know, being in there that could be harmful is greatly reduced.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Thank you very, very much.
Good
Thanks,
luck.
Joanna. We appreciate it. This email came in from, I don't know who it's from. It says, I discovered by accident one day that a cast iron pan is the original no-stick surface when frying eggs.
Oh, yeah.
Eggs always stick to my Revereware, regardless of what oil or fat I use. Why the difference?
Well, old cast iron, if you have your grandmother's cast iron pan, it's actually made differently than most modern cast iron.
Uranium, so they, right?
Yeah, no.
No.
They polish it. They polish the surface so it's really smooth. And once you get a good amount of seasoning on there, what happens with the seasoning is oil eventually turns into a polymer. It polymerizes and it creates its own nonstick coating. It's like a natural plastic, essentially, on your cast iron. With newer cast iron pans, they're not polished. And you'll notice when you feel them, they feel kind of like gritty.
Yeah.
They have a granular texture. So you have to make sure they're really well seasoned before they are nonstick. But they are. They do eventually become nonstick if you take, you know, good care of your cast iron pan.
So you can't find a high-end cast iron pan that somebody's taken the time to polish?
Yeah. There are definitely companies that sell polished cast iron. They're $200, you know, versus the $30 version. But they are polished, and they are beautiful.
I got my wife copper pans for $19.
As seen on TV.
Very good. Nothing sticks. Mike in Newburgh. Mike, you're on.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I just wanted to mention, I noticed that the last person that called had mentioned something about, you know, contamination of eggs and undercooking and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, if you clean the outer shell very well, actually with soap and water, then normally you don't have to worry about salmonella contamination. And when it comes to consumption of eggs, usually if you undercook them, the omegas actually overcome the bad fats in your body and actually are good for you. And that's one thing I learned through the years. So you can actually eat quite a few eggs a day, and it's actually very good for you from what I hear.
Oh, terrific.
But they say that the worst way to eat eggs, supposedly, is scrambled. Because what happens is the two molecules mix and create a bond, and you don't want that. You want them actually almost undercooked, sunny side up.
Huh.
Huh.
Well, all my friends that like sunny side eggs, they're happy now.
Now they have ammunition.
Yes.
Mike, thanks a lot for the call. 800-348-2551. You ever eat a raw egg?
I have. Yeah.
Why?
A small one. A raw quail egg.
I mean, you saw Rocky, right? He's
puts
all the raw eggs in there. Why would anyone want to do that?
Just straight protein, I guess.
Does it taste good?
No. It doesn't taste any different than a cooked egg, but it's a texture thing. So it's like...
It doesn't taste any different.
I don't really think it tastes that different, but it's you know...
Well, I'm going to take your word for it because I will never do it.
It's like a raw egg in your mouth. There's no other way to describe it.
All right. Robert on Route 84. Robert, you're on.
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call. I learned this from a French chef, and I'm sure you already know it. But it's a way of making omelets where she takes and separates the whites and whips up the whites like a meringue and then puts the yellows back in and then puts it in a well-buttered pan and drops the stuff that you want from the omelet. She drops the cut-up tomatoes and the onions and the, you can put anything in it, you know, the broccoli and everything. And then after the bottom's set, she gets another pan and flips it right on over, and you end up with a sort of a pancake about an inch thick, and you serve the whole thing and cut it up for the different people.
Yeah. Well, you're incorporating a ton of air into that. And they actually do sell omelet pans that have a top to them like that, where you just kind of collapse them and flip them over.
Have you ever made that?
I've never made an omelet like that. I've definitely done the separating the eggs and the whites and beating the whites and beating the yolks and mixing them back together, but not for omelets. When I want eggs, I just want them quick and easy.
Raw.
Raw, yeah. Down the gullet.
Thanks, Robert.
Okay, it was really good. So.
Yeah,
cool.
I'll try it. Thank you.
Call. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. 800-348-2551. Christopher in New Paltz. Christopher, you're on.
Hey, I got into an interesting conversation a couple of years ago with a friend. We were kind of challenging each other to name all the different ways to prepare eggs, over easy, scrambled, poached. And he came up with this one that I'd never heard of that used to be very popular where you'd basically hard boil it, you'd crack the egg, and you'd put it in some kind of special little vessel that was basically egg-shaped. And then you could put all kinds of different things in there with it, like butter or spices, and then you'd boil it like a hard-boiled egg. But when it was done, it would be, like, complete. Like, it would have all these flavors magically infused into the egg. Huh. You know what that's called?
No idea.
You've never heard of that in all your travels?
Never heard of that.
Christopher, we got to do some research on this. This sounds great.
Apparently, there were these, you know, they'd be very even elaborate and beautiful, made of silver and you know, carved and etched and stuff on the metal. But apparently, it was a fairly common way of doing it. It's almost like a sous vide sort of thing. I don't know. Anyway.
Well, that's really cool.
We're going to do it.
Yeah, we'll give it a shot. 800-348-2551. It's been an interesting show.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I say interesting rather loosely, but let's go to Chris in Saratoga. Chris, you're on.
Hi, I want to comment on the hard-boiled egg and the scrambled egg. I found the perfect way to hard-boil an egg is to start it in cold water, bring it to a raging boil, turn the burner off, take it off the stove. Once the water gets cool enough to where you can put your hand in to pull the egg out, pull them out, let them cool on the counter. Perfect every time. Shells fall right off of them.
Well, you know, that's exactly the opposite of what Deanna said, right?
No, I said the same
thing. You said
the
same thing?
Yeah. You bring them, you serve in cold water, bring them to a boil. Once they're really boiling, you turn the heat off, take them off the burner. And I wait 8 minutes. And then to cool them, I run them under cold water. Because otherwise, I feel like the white gets really rubbery and they get overcooked.
You could tell I wasn't even listening the first time. Okay, fair enough. All right, Chris, hey, thanks a lot for that. We appreciate it. Over to Kathy in Saratoga. Kathy.
Hi. I'm really glad I'm listening today. I have 11 chickens in my backyard, and I'm getting a plethora of eggs.
Cool.
So I've got a question about the Scotch eggs.
Yeah.
Can they be baked in the oven as opposed to being fried on the stove?
They can. And if you go onto the WAMC website, the recipe there will tell you to bake them at 400 degrees. Yeah.
Oh, terrific.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And let us know how you did, Kathy. They look difficult to me, but Deanna says they're not.
No, they're like they're part of like a plowman's lunch. They're like a classic British picnic food.
It's such a great thing.
They're good hot or, you know, room temperature.
Good with an ice cold beer.
Exactly.
And you said I'd bring beer. You said you would bring beer. And I said, don't bring beer today.
I know. Now you're kicking yourself, aren't you?
Usually, yeah. Usually I do. Bernard in Remsen. Bernard, you're on.
Hi, I just wanted to talk a minute about egg steamers. Mm-hmm. I actually got my first one about a year ago. I'd used one a couple of years ago. They're great. You drop your eggs in, a little water in the pan underneath. You run them, and in about 17 minutes, you have, depending on the steamer, about 10 perfectly steamed eggs, and they peel like mad.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do them soft-boiled, hard-boiled. I happen to use a Cuisinart one. But there's a whole bunch of different brands. So Cuisinart just takes a few more eggs.
Yeah.
So 17 minutes and, 10 extra large eggs.
Are you familiar with this?
Deal.
Yeah, you can definitely steam eggs.
I've never heard of anything like this.
Yep. So it's basically just the same as boiling an egg, except you're not putting it in the water. You're placing it above the water. Huh. Just like blanching a vegetable versus steaming a vegetable.
Oh, very
cool. It works great. Yeah.
Bernard, thank you so much for that one. Timothy in Scotia. Timothy.
Hi. First of all, there's a danger in that. If you're doing soft-boiled eggs, don't try to roll unless you have complete control of your hand.
Okay.
If you break through to that yolk, that is super hot.
Okay, fair enough, fair enough.
Second point was on never fail. I have never had these fail. Scrambled eggs. You don't have to have a cast iron pan. You can even do this with a older non-stick pan, because I say older because it has half of the life out of it. So you add a drop or two of olive oil, swish it around the pan with a paper towel to re-season it, put it on the burner. This is for an electric stove. Put it on medium.
Okay.
Till the pan is hot. Once you got it medium heat, nudge it up another one to the number six spot. Give it a couple minutes to get to number six. Meanwhile, you take your eggs, and if you have three eggs, let's say you're doing three eggs.
Only got about 20 seconds.
Okay, three eggs. Each egg is going to be about a third of a cup quarter of a cup.
Yeah.
So you, I'm sorry. So you add a quarter cup of water. So it's three part eggs to one part cold, almost ice water. You can run it over some ice cubes.
Yeah.
Stir it up completely with a whisk. Put it in the pan carefully. It'll start boiling immediately. I mean, curdling immediately. And you whip it around with a wooden spoon.
Hmm.
You keep scratching the sides down.
Yeah.
You don't let it burn. You don't let it form a real crust. And you do that for about 60 seconds, and you've got the fluffiest, most delicious scrambled eggs.
Hey, Timothy,
and
thanks.
All it is the eggs in the water, and you take out the... if you want to be real fussy and have them really smooth, you can take out the little white things.
All right, man. Hey, we're out of time, but thank you for that. Deanna Fox, you got a class coming up tonight?
Tonight, tacos. Different Drummer's Kitchen in Albany, 6 o'clock.
And how do we find out about all things Deanna Fox?
FoxOnFood.com or FoxOnFood on Facebook.
That was a weird show, right?
Yeah, it was
fun. Or is it just me?
Well, it's always just you.
Support comes from Spirit House, Amherst, Massachusetts, a family-owned wine, beer, and spirits retailer. Offering organically farmed wines from around the world. Wine tastings Saturday afternoon, spirithaus.com. Pekarsky's, South Deerfield, Massachusetts, family-owned since 1948. Offering sausages from kielbasa to Italian to bratwurst and smoked meats. Home of New England farm-made sausage, open 7 days. Pekarsky's.com. The Black Sheep, downtown Amherst, a New York-style delicatessen and European-style all-butter scratch bakery, caterer, and cafe. Offering fair trade coffee, blacksheepdeli.com. And Silver Bay YMCA Conference and Family Retreat Center on Lake George, New York. Open to all for family reunions, conferences, and personal retreats. Silverbay.org. Thanks again to Deanna Fox for being here. Thanks to you for listening and for the great calls. Zach Malloy took the calls. Zach Malloy was the engineer. Barb King took the calls. Our producer is Jim Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff. Have a lovely weekend. Eat some eggs. We'll see you next week.